Hi guys, and welcome to this week's episode of the Chasing Pars podcast. I'm Craig, as always, joined by Jamie. Hello.
You all right?
Fan Dabby Dozier.
Lovely stuff.
As much as I can be after that shit show, but hey ho.
Yeah, the less said about it, the better. Didn't expect it to be an absolute romping like that, but hey, it was always going to be tough, wasn't it?
I did fear that this could be the one that US make a statement of intent. I didn't quite see it going 19-9. I did say it first 16-12 and then 15-13 to the Americans. I always said America would win, but
I didn't quite expect a record though.
I mean, it was over by Friday afternoon, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. On the whole, to sum it up, I think it was all down to the form of automatic qualifiers coming into it, if that makes sense. Yeah. I mean, they just weren't striking it hot, were they? Whereas the Americans were coming into it with, you know what I mean, multiple winners in the last couple of months. So yeah, I think that had a massive factor for it.
Multiple winners galore. Ridiculous form and an world ranking average of just over 8.
Yeah, unreal. Can't do anything about that, can you? Sorry, that's
me. I mean, unbelievable, wasn't it? And some standout performances, obviously. We'll go into it a little bit once you've introduced our guest again this week.
Yeah, great fun.
And with that comes again, for the second week in a row, Ryan Hamilton at Golf Tipster 5. Welcome. If he's here.
Put yourself.
Joy's in the mute button, boys.
Right, that's proper lockdown stuff, that is. You're on mute.
Too used to it at work.
yeah, always at work.
Yeah, cheers for having us again, boys, anyway.
All right, mate, no worries.
Fresh off the back of, was it win number 22 this week?
Yeah, man, number 22 on the Japanese tour. Keita Nakajami at 33, he's the amateur, number one amateur in the world. So yeah, nice. Number 33, nearly got 24 as well with Thailand, got second place there. So it's a good week. By the Ryder Cup, it was a good week.
Yeah, that's but true.
Still got Morikawa at second for overall point scorer, so got a place on there.
Nice.
It was a good week.
Played well this week, Morikawa, didn't he? Awesome. It was a dream team with DJ in the end.
I know obviously it was against us, you know what I mean, but how good was it to see DJ back, you know what I mean, back playing like he should, you know what I mean?
No, I was saying to you, Jamie, throughout the weekend, DJ's back now.
Yeah. I've always been a big fan of him. That's how I know it was against us, which it's not a great time for him to stroke hot, but yeah, he played unreal, didn't he?
I mean, for only the fourth player in history of the Ryder Cup, was it?
Yeah.
To finish 5-0-0.
Yeah, some doing.
I mean, for a player that evidently struggled throughout, well, the back end of, well, actually throughout the whole of 2021, to be honest, with his game, to find it at the right time at the Ryder Cup to go 5-0-0. I mean, it's pretty incredible stuff.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
I think he's one of the only players that have played Whistling Straits before as well, wasn't he, like, competitively for the PGAs.
I mean, he's a hell of a player, to be honest. I mean, he's capable of turning it on like that at any given moment, to be honest. So it can't really come as much as a surprise.
There's so many players of theirs that hit the ground running. You know what I mean? Like Xander continued his unreal play from this year. You know what I mean? Cantlay was phenomenal. Morikawa, Scheffler at the last day. It wasn't a bad performance. I mean, Finau. Was it on the Saturday afternoon where he made like 8 birdies. He was unreal with English, he was. There's some quality performances, there was. I got no arguments at all. it was great to watch, really, from a neutral point of view.
And then that was, and you're just naming the players there. That's without naming the two that get most publicity.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what American fans now think of Bryson. You know what I mean? Obviously, they were obviously clearly cheering him on because he's clearly obviously plays for the USA. I've slightly gone a little bit more off Brooks as well. So.
Same, to be honest. I think he's an arsehole, to be honest. He's turned into an arsehole anyway, this past month or so.
I think the Bryson feud, you know what I mean, has made him a bit of a dick. But, yeah, it's...
He didn't come across great, did he, on that rules bit?
No.
Saying he was going to break his wrist.
No, it's... He came over a bit arrogant, you know what I mean? A bit cold, yeah.
And then Berger as well, just kind of get given off on one as well. I'm like, shut up, you're eating face bastard.
Mm.
He always looks like he's on the verge of tears, Daniel Berger.
Yeah. He couldn't even down that beer, could he? You see him try and chug that can of beer.
Copying GT.
Yeah. Shocking.
I am glad though that I don't have to listen to Paul McGinley say momentum anymore.
That's very true. Yeah.
Jesus Christ, how many times did he say that? It's ridiculous. Yeah.
And how many times did it was Butch Harmon trying to, for me, he was trying every drive out of the first about 7 singles matches all hit the fairway. And it was like he was struggling of ways to describe the drive, which was really, I found it really comical. And I mean, the amount of times he said, attaboy.
He loves attaboy.
He loves it, doesn't he?
The Masters of Year always says it.
Yeah, attaboy Rory. Yeah.
Hello, DJ.
So good.
Old Butch, man. Fucking hell.
No.
Obviously the European side as well, obviously we got hammered, but there were some good performances in there, especially from the world number one, Sean Wise, world number one.
I say, you know what I mean, if it weren't for him, you know what I mean, it'd been fucking hell.
Him and Sergio.
Yeah, Sergio played well. Got dropped for the Friday afternoon matches, but obviously I won't go into that too much, which I was a bit annoyed at the time. But yeah, there was some, I mean, Wiesberger had some good play as well, which was good to see.
Never got a point, no, Wiesberger.
No, he didn't. But he still had times of playing well, you know what I mean? He still hold a couple of key puts, he did. It was a lot more than, you know what I mean, and some of them did.
Saying he was meant to be the weak link, he actually played all right.
Yeah, he did do. What I was saying anyway, he didn't do much wrong.
The coverage. Apart from,
I think he put one in the water, didn't he? I think on Saturday.
Yeah, on 18.
Yeah. But yeah, apart there were some horrific shots on the shot tracker, weren't there?
Yeah. Did you see Casey's whiff yesterday?
I think I retweeted Craig in it, and I compared it to his golf game, didn't I, Craig?
I mean, you're about right, to be honest. Probably take about 3 attempts.
That was dreadful. That was that whiff there, and Tommy Fleetwood's, I don't know what it was, into the water. Was that on 6? Was it?
Yeah, snap up on that par 5. Wow. 16, I think, wasn't it? Because it went JT Eagle, yeah.
Okay, yeah. But just a shot tracker, man. It's you got all that.
It was doing the round on Twitter, wasn't it, saying just Europeans, like, tournament summed up in one shot.
Yeah.
It's like just going into Lake Michigan.
It's dreadful.
So there was some positives. Shane Lowry was a positive.
Yeah, massive.
Ramon Garcia obviously won all 3 games. They were the dream team for Europe. Fleetwood played okay. He got a couple of halves, and a defeat. That's better than some. Paul Casey, cough cough. Victor Hovland showed good spells on his debut as well.
Yeah, did all right. Yeah. Did he lose to Morikawa in the end, did he?
No, it was a tie in the end.
Morikawa missed the
It's a good result, isn't it, really? But yeah, no complaints from him.
Thoughts on Lowry? Can you see him? Can you see him being a mainstay in this European side now? Especially, the celebrations he done when he got that winning putt on 18 was unbelievable.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? It is. It's good to see.
I think he'll be there in Rome. Definitely. Yeah, I do. But you got to think like Westwood and Poulter probably won't be at Rome.
I don't want to see Paul Casey at Ryder Cup again.
No, he's not. Well, I can't remember what he did in Paris. I can't remember what his record was, but he wasn't great this time around, was he?
It was shocking. Was it played four, lost four?
Yeah, I think it was.
Was it?
Matt Fitzpatrick
still not won a point for the European side. Westwood, fair play to Westwood, but winning in the end, one up against Harris English, and he's probably will be his last ever match.
Did he win his? He won the last four holes, did he? Was it?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was three down, I think. Yeah. Like four to play and won all four of them.
The same with Poulter. He thrashed Tony Finau 3-2 in the singles to maintain his unbeaten record. McIlroy was I've slated him majority of the week, but he did play well against Shoffler, to be honest, when it didn't really matter. But I mean,
he did what we needed him to do. You know what I mean? If there was going to be a comeback of any sort, it was a shame what happened, you know what I mean, Friday and Saturday, really. Very uncharacteristic of him and Poulter to go. Was it four down after four? It might have even been five after four on Friday.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Thoughts on Rory in general?
And I'll allude back to it, mate. What I said at the start, you know what I mean? His or the others, their form going into it wasn't nowhere near as good as it should have been. You know what I mean? Okay, I know he made it to East Lake, same as Sergio, but obviously Sergio was a captain's pick and a good one at that. None of the automatic qualifiers for me were anywhere near the standard they should have been going into it. Whereas you had Cantlay winning, you know, in the playoffs that Cantlay had. The year that Xander's had, it was always going to be an uphill battle.
Bryson and so on, and JT, they've all won this year. So. Mm-hmm.
Morikawa on rail again, major champ. Yeah, crazy.
Thoughts on the interview afterwards with McIlroy?
That's how tears brought on by the bad performance, wasn't it? Clearly shows how much he cares for it. How bad he feels about that performance. You just got to hope that, you know what I mean, he wins a major again in the next 2 years before Rome, and he gets back to it, because it hasn't been the same McIlroy for a while, has it? Or he won the Wells Fargo this year. But yeah, he's not been the same for me. He hasn't.
Mm. He's been dropping down slowly in the rankings, hasn't he, as well? I mean, he's still 13th in the world, but it's not the Rory everyone's.
He's
not a top five player in the world, isn't he? So.
No, he's not. No,
he's too good to not.
Yeah,
it's a bit like Poulter for me. As long as McIlroy has two working arms, he'll still get picks for 2023 regardless. So.
We've got quite a few coming through that you think if they carry on. You know, I mean, the trail that they're on, we could have an exciting young team. We could, you know what I mean, with the Højgaards, you know what I mean, Bigley got to see Bob McIntyre, people like that coming through, you know what I mean, even sort of like the Dietrichs, you know what I mean, and
the
Peters, but you know what I mean, like, I'd much preferred, I'd have much preferred, in hindsight, a team of rookies to go out there. You know what I mean? Like, okay, if they'd put out a team of rookies and we'd have got turned over 19-9, I wouldn't really have had a problem, because, I mean, at least it was trying there.
Yeah, experience, no for them, wasn't it?
Yeah, but then it brings in the argument of that two lists you can qualify from. You know what I mean? The world points list and the bloody European points list. Like, I mean, none of like McIlroy, Fleetwood, Hatton, they didn't fall out of that qualifications at any point. You know what I mean? And then, no. You know what I mean? They
didn't even need to come over for European points either, did they?
No, and they should have done. You know what I mean? They should have. So yeah, there's a lot of factors gone into it for me.
Yeah.
I like the six picks. I do. I think we should do that. We should have six automatic, and then the captain just to do six picks like America do, because then you can pick the players that are actually in form, and not just three people, and you have to pick Poulter because it's Ian Poulter, and it's just. If you had six, you can then take a few younger ones, can't you?
Mm, definitely.
Rather than you're forced with.
Yeah. Maybe it will force a change, you know, in come 2 years' time. Mm. It might do.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll wrap up the Ryder Cup there. We'll talk about more in depth at a future date. But for now, on to this week's events. We'll start with the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship. First, obviously it's at the Old Course at St Andrews, King's Barnes and Carnoon, which is usually the three events all in one for the Dunhill Links. I mean, it's scary that it's this time of year already at the Dunhill Links, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, it's only a couple of weeks till Valderrama, guys.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it? Valderrama, October. It's crazy, yeah. I'm sitting here looking out the window, you know what I mean? It's pitch black, it has been for a good hour now. It's crazy, isn't it? How this year's gone. But hey-ho. The best European Tour events for me, they are, this time of year.
Yeah, definitely. When it's St Andrews, Carnoustie and King's Barnes, this is technically the defending champion after it got cancelled last year, because
mm-hmm.
the 2019 champion was Victor Perez, who won it 2 under to Matthew Southgate in 2019. Lucas Bjerregaard won in 2018, Tyrrell Hatton won Everett in 2015, Ollie Wilson 2014, David Howell 2013, and Brandon Grace 2012. Quite a decent caliber of winners there, to be honest. All played well in the kind of time frame where they won.
I'll butt in. Your connection's going a bit crap again, Craig. Is it a Rolex event? Is it, Ryan?
I don't think it is. No, they've cut them down, haven't they, to what they used to be?
Okay,
I think it's just about standard one.
Yeah, I mean the caliber of winners. You know, I mean, it does spring to mind, but hey, but yeah. It seems to be, I mean, a lot of the same names seem to feature throughout the last sort of 6 or 7 years, really, when I looked into it. There's a lot of people with similar course form, there was.
I mean, the runners up here, you've got Ross Fisher, who was running up in 2016 and 2017, both times to Tyrrell Hatton. Tommy Fleetwood in 2018 and 2014 was runner up. McIlroy was runner up that 2014 with Richie Ramsey as well. Ollison won in 2015 and was runner up in 2012. So yeah, it's kind of the same kind of theme you get.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's that type of course courses that if you play well on in the past, there's a chance you can go well again. So
yeah, definitely.
Sorry, I'm just getting the odds up quickly.
Shane Lowry 10-1 favourite. Would you reckon?
Oh God, I mean, he's a great player, and obviously he played well last week. But I was tempted not to take any of the guys that have come from Whistling Straits, to be honest. I don't know what you guys think on that.
I mean, I've put Hatton down is my first tip this week, mainly because he's won there twice before. But like you say, he is coming back from Whistling Straits, so that is in the back of my mind. But he's won there twice before. He's had a third place or a second place as well. So he's not going to need a practice round around there, I thought.
He went 3 years in a row, 1-1-2.
I think it was something stupid like that. But yeah, it's 16-1. I can't not have him when he's like got that course form.
No. He went 15th in 2019 after. So, I mean, 15th, second, first.
Especially when there's like Fleetwood and Lowry in front of him at 14s and 12s, sort of a no-brainer really when they've not really got the course. So, I mean, I think they've top 20'd a couple of times between them, but Patton's been there and done it a few times, hasn't he? So.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'll let you elaborate on Hatton a little bit, and then I'll rattle off the kind of guys at the top of the market to about 50-1. So, yeah, I mean, Hatton, course form is stupendous, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you can't knock it, can you? It's over three courses, isn't it? You've got the Kingsbourne, Carnoustie and St Andrews, and it probably does depend whether you get it. Certain courses, like if you get the wind at Carnoustie, you are going to struggle. So
yeah,
it's sometimes worth waiting until like Wednesday night when you actually know the draw to actually put bets on for this sort of event. But when he's won numerous times at the event and he's 16-1, I'm going to take that price before it comes down, because I don't think I'll be the only person on Hatton this week at that price anyway, before it comes tumbling down. So,
have you got any concerns about like his kind of slightly erratic form recently or this season?
Yeah, I mean, we all know he likes to throw his toys out of the pram when it's not going right, don't we? But I mean, he was one of our highest scorers at the Ryder Cup, which he can take a huge boost from, you'd have thought, with us. I think he got 1.5 points, which is more than most people got. So, I mean, he'll be more than happy with where his game is, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, he got stuffing in the singles, I think. I think JT, did he win five?
Yeah, it was a tough match, right?
I can imagine he was just like, he knew what he saw. When he saw the flood of red coming up on the scoreboard, I think his head probably would have gone. I can imagine being that sort of guy. So, I mean, his course form's just impeccable around there, so you can't not take him at 16s from
No.
The guys for the top. So we've got Shane Lowry coming over at 14-1. Billy Horschel's back over at 14-1. Toby Fleetwood 14-1. Hatton 16s. Norrin 16s. Victor Perez 28. Peters 28. Grace 28. Robert McIntyre 40s. Horsfield 40s. Dietrich 40s. And that's everybody up to 50s. I believe you've got another pick in there. Sorry, Ryan, that you want to go on to.
Yeah, I've got Grace in there as well. I got him at 33 this morning, which has been since crushed to like lowest 22 with some bookies now. So again, another person with tremendous course form around there. He's won there before. It's 2012, I think you said he won earlier on. He won his first event for a couple of years this year, it was his first win since his dad died, so it's not been in the best of places at the minute, has he? So it's nice to see him get that win. And then his caddy's actually one of someone I work with is I think it's like his nephew or something, his caddy is. I always like it's just someone I follow just through that really. So I know he's with Grace, he's been with Thomas Peters and that. So again, following his socials and stuff, you always see him tearing it up. So I mean, I say that's pretty much on Grace, like this course form against very similar to that, and is he likes the links. And hopefully he can just go on from strength to strength from his win at Puerto Rico. And I say his form's not bad either. He's had a second and a 12th in his last five starts, so he's in a decent bit of form, and he stayed over from the Dutch Open, so he's not like he's flying from states to come and play. So he's already over here, so he's got no jet lag or anything to worry about.
Fair enough. I've said to Jamie in the past, I just kind of prefer Grace in these kind of bigger PGA Tour events where you can actually get a very good price on them. That's just my kind of take on Grace. But no, I agree, he's a great player. Anybody that you kind of, well, who you might have fancied, Jamie, in this kind of range up to 50?
Let's have a look. I mean, I wouldn't take him, but obviously you got to look at Billy Horschel. You know what I mean? He had a week to get off his hangover. He played unreal at the end, didn't he? At the BMW. Who else? I suppose you got to look at Robert McIntyre. You know what I mean? Being in Scotland, at these sort of prices as well. He's not got as much pressure on him as say yet, I suppose. Because of his current form, I think he needs a good confidence boost, and I think he can get it here, back in his home country. But yeah, those are the couple of the ones I'd have looked at, to be honest.
I was hoping Norrin would have been bigger odds, but he was too short, especially as the same as Hatton.
I mean 16 to 1, yes. Hatton or Norrin, I think I'd take that Hatton, to be honest.
Yeah.
You've got one at 50 to 1 as well, Ryan. Sorry.
We have. We've got Callum Hill at 50s. Again.
The wiggle man.
I mean, he's got his first win, hasn't he, now, so he's got that off his back. And if you're going off like stats, which I quite like to look into quite a bit, his stroke average is second this year with 69.18, which is incredible when you're shooting that low week in, week out. And he's one of the best putters. He's ranked sixth, so he averages 1.72 per hole, which again, it's unreal. And I think he's got some fairly decent course form. I've not got it up at the minute, but from looking at it earlier, he's had a couple of good finishes up in Scotland as well. And he'll just be looking to build on his win that he's already got. So at 50s, I'm more than happy to take him. I think I've got 8 places now. I think for that. So let's have that as well. Yeah, that's it. It's one the Kazoo. And then Amiga Classic, he was 7th and then a 34th, and then he missed the cut at Wentworth. So he's had a few weeks to recharge his batteries, so he'll be wanting to get up the Race to Dubai leaderboard, I'm sure.
Yeah, he's been playing some consistent stuff this year, yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 50 to 1, yeah, cracking odds at this. From 50 to 1 upwards, there's some great values to be had this week.
Yeah, he was just alluding to that, he was 4th at the Hero Open, which is the Fairmont St Andrews.
Is it far away? Is it?
It's like five, ten minutes away.
Right.
From the actual course, it's 700.
I mean, the winner.
You want to go into a certain guy that cannot put for shit. A certain guy that cannot put for shit.
Oh, me.
Yeah.
I've gone for Sean Crocker at 55s. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. And I thought the exact same. He was about the same prowess going into the BMW at Wentworth. And to be honest, I was only put off, and I said on the podcast that week, that I was put off his scrambling and putting, because I think that's a big factor at Wentworth. And you know, I mean, he finished tied ninth there. I mean, it didn't seem a factor there. So, you know, I mean, I'm happy to take him again here. And it's 55-1. You know what I mean? A guy that, I mean, is top five in strokes gained off the tee, approach, tee to green, and greens in reg this year. Coming off a tied ninth, tied 18th in Italy, tied fourth in the Omega Masters, and a tied second at the Czech Masters. Yeah, it's great form, so I'm well happy to take him at them odds.
You better watch your slag on mind.
Say that again, sorry.
I said you better watch for Crocker. You better watch your Dennis Slagan, remember?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. The week I'm on him, you mean he'll miss the cut, he will. But I've got to back him at 55. So I have unreal odds.
Did you ever see that, Ryan? The Sean Crocker reply to me. He must have searched his name, because I kind of threw my toys out a little bit out of the pram with him 1 week when he was playing so shit. And
no, what did he say?
He replied to me. I was like, holy fuck.
You just going to come on.
I don't know. I'm probably last in his list of priorities. So, it's just funny story there on Sean Crocker. He's playing unbelievable golf, isn't he?
Yeah.
Off the tee, superb. We've got stats up here for his last few events. Off the tee, wise, second in Italy, seventh in the European Masters. That's all off the tee. Was first tee to green at the Czech Masters.
Yeah.
Fourth at the European Masters, first for approach play at both the European Masters and the Czech Masters. I mean, the list goes on. It's just a part of it.
Yeah, that's true. He is triple figures in Europe for putting, and the stroke kind of around the green. It is worrying, especially playing like over in the UK. But after his performance over here at the BMW, I'm more than happy to risk him this week.
Don't take this too much as a comparison, but you know who it reminds me of a lot, but is Zalatoris, like one of the best, most clean ball strikers there is on the tour, but just gives you the absolute. I know, obviously, Zalatoris is a better player, but
it was just
a slight.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
I mean, the way he's playing, I do think he could get over the line, maybe stumble over the line 1 week. Hopefully this week, of course. That's a good pick, a good form pick anyway, I think. Guido's back this week. Shock. Shock of mentioning Guido and Jason Parr. It's not like me, is it?
No, not at all.
His current form's a little bit mixed. He's kind of went off the boil slightly since the Travelers.
Yeah.
His current form is 35th at the Scottish Open, missed cut at the Open Championship, which is forgivable. 32nd at the Olympics, 7th at the European Masters, 34th at the Italian Open. He would have expected better on home soil, and missed cut at Wentworth. I mean, he's still having an unbelievable season. Approach approach play on his second last start at the Italian Open. He was third for approach play, 17 for Tee Green. Twenty-three in regulation. The game's still there. I just think 57th for Strokes game putting that week tells you all you need to really know about kind of where Guido's game is at currently. But I do think especially at these kind of prices, it can be quite a tempting one to try again, to try and get his form back on what's already been a fantastic season for him. And I just think obviously he came up short of a Ryder Cup pick and probably knew he wasn't going to get in, but I do still think it might have hurt him. So this is kind of hoping for a slight reaction, I think, more than anything. Would, I don't know. I don't know what you think, Jamie, but
yeah, it's a tough one to call, really. Obviously, with a couple of weeks break, you never know what golfs are feeling like. I don't think he was as close to a Ryder Cup pick as you think, unfortunately. So I don't really think that affected him as much. But yeah, on the form he was at a couple of months ago, you know, 50-1 is a big price. Just unfortunately that every day of the week's not called Sunday, isn't it? It is.
Well, true. I will. Is they're going to shoot a 63?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I do still maintain that I do think a win will come at some point in the near future for Migliozzi. I just think he's got to get one over the line. I don't know if that's just me being biased. Probably is a little bit, but
yeah, probably
his form really this year deserves it. It's one win.
Yeah.
He's definitely going back under the radar for sure at this kind of price. So, I mean, why not? Eh?
Yeah, that's true.
Which leads me on to my next one, which is probably one of the most backed week. The King of the Links, Matty Jordan. Loves the links courses, lad.
You're cutting out loads. Sorry.
Oh, wait.
Can't
hear me.
No, you're cutting out loads. Sorry.
Yeah.
Like talking to a Dalek again.
This connection, man, or this part of the area where I'm under now is a bit of a joke, but I feel. Right.
Matt Jordan and I at 70s.
Yeah, his game suits well to the links course, hence why he's heavily backed this week. He's in good form. He's playing well after coming back earlier this year from an injury layoff, and his two previous appearances in the event, he's got a 32nd and a 5th. So obviously has a taste for the place. His form in Scotland in general, superb. 6th at the Hero Open just passed, 18th at the Scottish Open, 25th at the Scottish Championship, 5th at the and then the 5th and the 32nd at the Dunhill Links. I mean, no worse than 32nd in like five visits to Scotland is pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's true. It's a tricky place to come. Doesn't matter what course you're playing, because you're always battling the elements. So yeah, that's a key one this week to look at, definitely.
And just a little bit about his current form, miscut at Wentworth. 15th at the Italian Open, 4th at the European Masters, 47th at the Kazoo Classic, and 6th at the Hero Open. I mean, he's in good form. I mean, Mystica Wentworth, which, okay, can kind of forgive because it was a very high class field in a Rolex Series event. But kind of coming back to, well, a country he clearly loves in Scotland, I think he's got to go well this week.
Yeah, definitely. Big odds. I think I took him at Wentworth, probably the worst time to back him. But yeah, all the best in that one.
Any thoughts on the likes of Horsfield or Vierman or Kawamura? I'm surprised you never backed Kawamura this week.
Yeah, I mean, he was going well, wasn't he, at the BMW? Obviously, until the day that I went on the Saturday with my mate, and obviously he followed Calmore around in the afternoon. He kind of didn't do anything, and then took a six on the 18th, which ain't the best. Put me off him a little bit, but you know what I mean. He's still a class act. You know what I mean? Like his game's unreal. It is. I think I'm gonna leave him for a couple of weeks and just see how he does, and then I'm sure I'll back him again before the end of the season. Well.
Nikolai 8-1, that seems a big price. He played actually quite well on his last event on after winning in Italy.
Who was that, sorry? Nikolai Højgaard.
Nikolai Højgaard,
yeah, it's big odds, yeah. Can never quite get him right if I'm honest. But yeah, for a recent winner, God, yeah, that's massive.
And another one just out of interest, about 9-1, John Catlin.
Oh, mate, yeah. I'm stopped taking John Catlin now. I've been sucked in a couple of times now at the big odds. He just flatters to deceive, he does. So.
I mean, what's your thoughts on him, Ryan, John Catlin?
I think he's my most backed player this year.
Yeah.
You go on, in you go.
Yeah. Since about, I think, 6 months ago, a bit less than that, he's just been, 50-1 plus in every tournament he has. And it's so tempting, it is, knowing what you can do. But I just think that, I've just put so much into him now that I just need to just watch him do until he does really well again 1 week, and then I might consider going back in.
I was on him for when he won in Austria, and he was 80s then. And I think I've backed him probably about 5 or 6 times since then. And
yeah.
There are a lot of miscuts.
There are, yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 miscuts since he won.
Wow.
With just the one top five, there's a 7th as well.
Yeah, he'll go triple digits soon, he will. Yeah.
But his form from last year, though, as well, like, when you see his numbers, you just like, could be a week. So when he winning the Irish Open and in Alcudia as well, was it? No, Ardo Lucia Masters that he won.
Yeah, that was it.
So when you see his prices, you always just, it makes you have a think, don't you, at them prices.
Yeah, that's it. If these numbers come Valderrama, you know what I mean? I might be tempted. But no, I need to see him have a half decent week anyway first.
I mean, yeah, Catlin is. I was on him at the Irish Open when he won at 66, and even that's a big price now, thinking about it. I mean, he seems to only win at like ridiculous prices, doesn't he? But I can see why people might have backed him in the hope that it can maybe spark something just before he returns to Valderrama to defend. But
yeah.
We'll see. But I just thought, again, 80 plus is pretty mental for a guy of his quality, obviously. We know what he can do.
Yeah, it is, definitely. But yeah, I just wouldn't risk it anymore.
Memory Lee next at 100 to 1 is another one that I'm kind of looked at. I just think it's a bit bonkers, the price, to be honest, considering the only one about was
once, six starts ago
at the Scottish Open at the Renaissance Club. I mean, he's, don't get me wrong, he's missed a cut at Wentworth and the Open, two bigger tournaments, but before that was 62nd at the St Jude Invitational, 21st at the European Masters, and 12th at the Italian Open. It's not too bad, considering he could have had a massive 2-3 week hangover after the win. Just looking at the stats now for the Italian Open, 14th for scrambling, 16th for putting average, second around the green in general, third tee to green, 9th off the tee. Not too bad, is it? 30th on approach as well.
Yeah, I get that.
He's just trying to get something going with the putting, where he was 56th that week in strokes gained putting. The week before that, it was 41st for putting and 53rd for putting at the St Jude Invitational.
Mm.
I mean, it's obviously a weakness, if ever he has one. But I just think of the number, it's a bit ridiculous, considering he won in the country only in July just past.
Yeah, I get what you mean. I mean, it was somewhat out of the blue, wasn't it, that win? Obviously, I don't think anyone expected him to get it done on a Sunday. Obviously, before then, you know what I mean? I'd kind of classed him as quite an erratic golfer, really.
Talented, though. Yeah,
talented,
yeah. Was he only 22, 23?
Yeah, something around that age. I don't know, I kind of think... It's a good price, you know what I mean, for a winner this year, and obviously a recent winner. I just wouldn't back him myself. You know what I mean? I really wouldn't. I don't know. I might get a bit of abuse for it, but no, I wouldn't go near him this week. I wouldn't.
There's more value on other players, isn't there, this week? I think so.
Personally, there are. Yeah, a lot more consistent players at good numbers. Not maybe better than 100 to 1, but obviously.
Sure, no, I just think the number seems a bit wrong for a guy that's won.
Yeah, I go.
He probably should be lower for saying he has won, like, yeah, as long as six starts ago. Probably 80s is a bit too high for him, really.
Just a couple of players just in the kind of 80s range. Players in the one, Troy Merritt comes over 80 to 1.
He's gone again, has he? But yeah, Troy Merritt, I think you mentioned then.
Yeah,
Troy Merritt, wow.
Yeah. You don't know how he's going to do you over here. You know what I mean? You couldn't predict anything from Merritt this week. You said before the show, Ryan, that the weather's going to be awful, did you?
Yeah, it's forecast to be terrible.
Oh, so
wind and rain.
Yeah, so you don't know what's going to happen with anyone, really, do you?
No. I think Merritt's probably come over more for the Open next year just to get his eye in, really.
Yeah.
To elements, course, and weather, really.
Yeah, definitely.
More than anything. Same with like Horschel and that, or the American Worlds. Say Finau was meant to be coming over, but it's probably him and Troy that have more coming to get the line for the Open.
Yeah, I get that. He has been over before, I think, as well. Mm. Does ring a bell. I think he comes over for the order of merit list, but we'll move on from that, Joe. What else we got around this? Justin Harding 70-1. Andy Sullivan 70-1. Ross Fisher.
I was saying Antoine Rosner was 80-1 as well. He's dropped back in price.
Yeah, definitely. Really good TD Green numbers. Yeah, wouldn't put anyone off him this week.
Danny Willett 100-1. Marcel Seam 90-1.
Yeah. I'm going to drop my last tip in while we're mentioning fucking everyone under the sun. It's Marcus Armitage at 80-1. I won on him at 80-1 earlier in the year at the Porsche Open. I just think he's becoming a really, really consistent player on the European Tour. He's coming off a 30th, a 60th, a 7th, a 38th, and a 30th. Obviously, and his win was just a couple of weeks before that. 16th approach and 30th tee to green this year, 28th greens in reg, all going to be key this week. The last three winners of them have all been sort of inside the top 10 for greens in reg for the week. So you've got to be a good ball striker, and especially if it's going to be crap conditions, you need to hit the ball solid to get either it through the wind or the rain. And again, it helps that he's, I mean, a homegrown player that's going to be used to the elements if it does get bad. So fingers crossed. And I think 80-1 again, it's really good value for Marcus. I do.
The bullet again.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind backing players like this more often than not, because I mean, 8 times out of 10 he gets through to the weekend and he does give you a run at some stage. And I do like him as a player. I do. So yeah, I don't mind him, especially 80-1.
Any of the exciting trio of Vincent Norman, Matthias Schmidt and Santiago Bentario make any appeal to any of you guys?
I was tempted with Schmidt after the Dutch Open finish. But yeah. I've backed him so many times already this year on the Challenge Tour and not got a lot back from him. So not for me this week. And I'm not 100% if Bentario and Norman are playing, because there's a few bookies that haven't got a price.
So I've got Bentario in front of me, but I haven't got Norman. So not
100%. Yeah, on Odds Checker, there's a few bookies that are missing both of them, so I don't know whether they're playing or not.
Oh, okay.
Hopefully, both of them play, really, but I don't know. But say, Vincent Norman's looking like he's going to be some player.
Yeah, definitely. Cracking drawer of the golf ball, aren't I?
Yeah, absolute monster.
Yeah. But yeah, exciting stuff, definitely. Same with Bentario, really. He makes birdies for fun, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's been unreal on Challenge Tour this year.
Yeah.
Got a proper card for one of my wins this year. It's always a silly price as well. It's been as low as 10, I think, sometimes on the Challenge Tour.
Blimey. Must be doing something right, mustn't he?
Yes.
Right, the last one I want to mention is Francesco Laporta at 150. It's just a guy that's really playing well. 4th and 6th on his last two starts, being at the Italian Open, where he was 4th, and at Wentworth at the Rolex Series event, where he was 6th, which was mightily impressive. As far as I can remember, he was the leader or the joint leader after two rounds.
He was definitely up there. I can't remember where he was.
He was, yeah, he's very close. He was.
I think it's quite a good number, to be honest, considering obviously the last two events. Before that, he missed the cut at the European Masters and the Hero Open. And he was 32nd in Northern Ireland as well. 4th at the Irish. He's been a little stop start this season, but he's a guy that's got obvious talent. at Wentworth. He was 8 for greens in regulation, 20th for putting average, 8th for on approach, 4th for off the tee, 9th for tee to green. Was 6th for tee to green at the Italian Open and 6th around the green at the Italian Open as well. So he's obviously he's playing well. He's got a mixed record in Scotland so far. Missed cut 71st, 42nd, missed cut 23rd, and missed cut, which goes all the way back to the Challenge Tour days. But I just think he's the last two events he's playing well enough to kind of justify that kind of price. So
yeah, it's definitely trending the right way anyway with them two finishes. You've got to take that price probably on really, haven't you?
Yeah.
If you can get decent play with them odds, it's definitely worth a look.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, just in hope that he can, for the third kind of event in a row, he can kind of give it a good go. And is it you, Jamie, that said you think Laporta's got ability to win one maybe?
Yeah, I mentioned it before. I mentioned him the week before Wentworth, which obviously is poor timing. I can't remember for the life of me which tournament I watched him in. On the Sunday, he literally chipped in like four times on the Sunday. And there's on about how much he'd been putting into his scrap in his like around the green game with his coach. And ever since then, you know what I mean, he's turned a corner. He has, and he's playing some really good stuff. And yeah, well, he's one that flies under the radar. And again, this week, you know what I mean, 100 to 1, 125 to 1. It's great odds if you're looking for an outsider this week.
David Law back in Scotland, 175. That seems a bit big. David Law.
Yeah, I can't say much about the bloke. I don't know loads. I've not followed him before, so I can't really comment. Unfortunately, I just wouldn't go. I wouldn't go there because of that reason.
And we're going to your last pick, Ryan. I believe is at 250.
Yep, Ewan Ferguson. So he's a Challenge Tour player this year, and he's always in the top five for the pre-event betting. He's always like between like 20 and 30 to 1. So when you see it 250s, you've got to have a quick look and then say he's got some. He's in pretty decent form on the Challenge Tour. He's got 15th, 20th, missed court, 2nd, and 5th for his last 5 starts. So that was plenty for me to take him on at 250s this week. Yeah. I can get 8 places. It's a bit of a no-brainer for me, really.
I mean, he's a very talented player. Especially when you look at the Challenge Tour, you see his name in the top 10 every week. As you said, it's like he's got to win one eventually, hasn't he?
Yeah, like you say, he's knocking on the door. He's never won in his career so far, but he's had, what's he had, 23 starts this year, and he's had six top tens, three of them being second places. So his game isn't going in the right place. It's definitely trending in the right direction, so I say 250s. I can't not put him up this week.
Yeah, I agree there. Definitely.
Right, no, that's a nice. That could be a very genius bet there, to be honest, Ryan. If it all goes well, so.
Let's hope so. I'll take a place.
Yeah, definitely. God.
Right, Jamie. We'll let you take the lead for the Sandersons.
Happy days. Really, it's the Sanderson Farm Championships on the old PGA Tour over the pond, as we say. At the Country Club of Jackson again. Par 72 course. Big one this week, just under 7,500 yards. Bermuda Champion Greens, Bermuda Grass elsewhere. Designers are John Fort and Mike Goggle this week. There we go. There's one for you. 4 par 3s, 10 par 4s, 4 par 5s this week. A standard par 72. I looked at sort of, par 5 scoring definitely is 4 of them. there's seven out of the 10 par fours that are under 450 yards. So I've looked at that efficiency. And the last three winners have all ranked top five for off the tee. They've all been top 10 for tee to green. And they've all been top seven for greens in regulation. So if I'm honest, I've seen that the rough's never penal here at the Country Club. So to me, I took the point of view that it's just going to be a bomber's caution. I mean, chuck it down there as far as possible. Make sure you hit the green in regulation and give yourself a chance because the average putters have won here in the past, which I'll go into in a minute. We were saying, weren't we, before, Ryan, that it seems that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, you look at the last three people that have won, they're all outside the top 100 last year in putting.
Yeah, like last year, I mean, we got Garcia winning last year, Munoz the year before. I mean, look inside the top three, I mean, you've got Benny Ann, who came third in 2019. That just shows, I mean, it's they clearly produce easy opportunities to what your standard PGA Tour green does. You got Cam Champ winning in 2018, Ryan Armour in 2017, and here's a name for you. You got Cody Gribble winning in 2016. There's one for you. yeah, I know. I literally had to look up for what his first name was because I've not heard of him. I haven't. I don't suppose he's played on the Japanese tour, has he, Ryan, or anything?
I've never seen his name in the Japanese tour, mate. No. No, I've seen his odds for this week though, so I can't imagine what price he was when he won.
Oh yeah, 100%, mate. Yeah, 100%. I mean, Greg Owen was second that year as well. Must have been a decent forecast that year.
I'm going to see if I can see what his odds were when he won.
I bet he was a good triple-digit figure, definitely. Okay, we got Will Zalatoris, favourite at the moment. 14s and 16-1, I'm seeing. What were you thinking, Craig?
That's what you need to know.
Yeah. He'll win this year. He will.
Not 16s though, surely not.
You know, I mean, he could win, you know what I mean? And no, pretty much no one will be on him, will they, really? At this odds. But you know what I mean, he could easily turn up and win. He is good with the driver, good with his irons, as we know. It is just the putter. But you say it presents an easy opportunity this week, and he could easily grab that. He could kickstart his year, really. I can see why he's up here. Ryan, I know you've got one at the top here as well, at sort of the same odds.
Yeah, I've got Sam Burns. So is Sam Burns could feel that he should have been on the Ryder Cup team with his form he was in. I mean, is the world number 25, which... it wasn't as good as the other guys, but his last five starts has come 17th, 8th, 21st, 2nd and 76th, which is pretty decent form. He's also had the win at the Valspar this year, two second places. And one of the main reasons I had him this week was the previous year's scorings have like nearly always been 20 under or more.
Yeah.
And his birdie average for his last season stats is 5th, averaging 4.5 birdies per round. So,
well, yeah,
you can't not take that seriously when just taking into account his the form he's in as well at the minute. And then,
yeah, 100%.
I'd liked a little bit better than 16-1, but he was when I saw the list come out on Saturday, he was the person that stood out to me that he's going to be my first pick.
Yeah,
for this week, definitely.
Sometimes you just got to take whatever you can get, really. He clearly fits the profile of the course, as I said. It's a multi-long way he does, doesn't he?
Yeah, his average is 305, so he's not sure. Yeah,
no, he hits it a long way, he does. And his wedges are good. I can't comment on his putting, as he literally gave the WGC to Abraham for this year. I'm going to drop it in there again, Craig, you know. But yeah,
his stats aren't that bad, you know. He's ninth.
Oh, really?
Game to put in, yeah.
Wow. Okay. I wonder what the odds are of missing that four footer on the 18th then.
I know.
but yeah, he definitely suits this week, and he could blow everyone away, couldn't he? Quite easily.
Yeah. Yeah.
With his scoring power, definitely. He could. I just mentioned a couple of guys. We've got Sun Jae-in at 20s, second in 2019. Tied 28th last year in 2020. Would you take a 20-1 on Sun Jae-in?
No.
I mean, he was a consistent guy, you know what I mean, about a year ago. He showed glimmers since, but not this early in the season. I need to see how he's come out of the traps, you know what I mean? I need to see how he's doing first to take a 20-1 on a guy like him. Yeah. Definitely.
He comes second in 2019, so he's got a bit of course form behind him, but not for me this week.
No, definitely not. No. Just scoring down. Everywhere I've looked today, everyone's on Mito Pereira. What are we thinking? I mean, he smashes it off the tee, doesn't he?
He does. Oh, he's ridiculous, yeah. It's an absolute bomber, isn't he? Which, like I say, is what his course is set up for. It's a bomber, the flick, and you have an easy putt. There's the theory behind it. But
yeah.
When I saw his price, I was like, literally every man and his dog is going to be on that this week. And hopefully it's going to get Twitter cursed, as we call it.
Yeah, I'm not on him this week. You mentioned about the odds there. Like, I mean, I know only the one bookie, but he hasn't gone above 30s on my book. You know what I mean? I know he's showing some good signs, really good signs, and I really thought he was gonna win at one stage. Had the Fortinet champs, it was, weren't it?
Mm.
I did think he was gonna convert there. I don't know if he was 40-1, you know what I mean, I'd really go in on him.
I would have liked him to be a bit bigger, but like you say, is the form is in, probably the numbers probably right. As you say, he's had four top tens his last six, seven starts.
Yeah,
which,
it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Another good youngster coming through.
It's the I think with the price and the form, it's also the confidence. True, win the equity as well, I think, as well.
Yeah.
But, he will get over the line at some point. I just, although 33 may seem a bit short, it probably deserves to be in current form anyway. Especially in this type of field, I think, as well. So.
Yeah, I'd like to see what he is in there when they've got a field that's got some stars in there, just see what price they're going to put him in.
Yeah. Like,
if he gets put at 50s or something like that, I can imagine there'll be a lot of money going in on him.
Yeah, definitely. When he's in a field a lot, DJ and Morikawa, and you know what I mean, people like that. We'll see.
You know my thoughts on Pereira, so like even if I've not backed him, I want to see him win. So
yeah, definitely. Is it a good talent? You know what I mean? It would be good to see him win. Fingers crossed not this week. But yeah, I'm going to my first one. I've gone for Charlie Hoffman, my main guy this week. I've gone at 34-1. He doesn't really do much wrong in my eyes, to be honest. He drives the ball well. He hits his irons well. And he is known to strike hot with the putter as well. He started the season well last week with a tie 22nd, where he was 12th for tee to green. Tied 6th at Sanderson's last year, and tied 23rd the year before that. So he's got some good form. And he had a good year last year. You know what I mean? I, it's still early enough in the season to look at stats from last year. 25th off the tee, 16th for approach, 22nd tee to green. So he didn't do a lot wrong last year. Had a consistent year as well. I'm happy to take him at 35, to be fair. And as I say, he likes going low as well. That's never a bad thing, especially here. So yeah, fingers crossed it's this week, definitely. Kevin Streelman, Craig, I know he's one of your guys that you've looked at before. Any thoughts?
I'm not really a massive fan of Streelman at these kind of prices, to be honest. Whenever I've hit Streelman, it seems to be on a course he likes and at triple figure odds. So
he's got some form here. He has, you know what I mean? He's top 40 last year. You have tied fourth in 2019. Got tied 10th in 2017. Yeah, it looks like he likes the place. But I see what you mean about the 40-1. That's just mirroring the strength of the field, isn't it, really?
Yeah. I mean, if he was maybe touching 60s, maybe.
60s, yeah. I was going to say, yeah. I
believe Ryan's got one at 30s. You've missed him, I think.
Yes, sorry.
That's right.
I've right. Over him. Yeah, I even looked at him myself, to be honest, mate. I don't know how I missed him. But yeah, cracker.
So yeah, Cameron Davis is my second pick.
Nice. Yeah.
After his win at the Rocket Mortgage just six starts ago, he's been 55th, 28th, 60th, 31st, and 29th since then. So nothing spectacular, but he's making cuts and he's in the top 30 near enough every week. So he's racking up the money. 63rd in the world now.
Yeah. Nice.
Again, another one who likes to smash it off a tee, averaging 309 last year. Again, we're going off the birdie average. He was 22nd last year, and he was second in eagles as well. So, likes to get it down and get it quick. So, once he gets rolling, he can be I won't say Morikawa-esque, but once he gets hot, he's going low.
Yeah, I agree.
Which again, with the scoring from previous years, you're gonna have to go low all four rounds to have a chance. So
yeah, there's a little correlation between here and Detroit Golf Club that holds the Rocket Mortgage the last couple of years. There's a few names that do cross over, and obviously Cam Davis being one of them.
Mm.
There's no reason why you couldn't go well.
No, and it was sixth last year as well, and 28th the year before, so he's got course form behind him. So the 33s, I thought he was probably the better player to take. I was torn with him and Keegan Bradley, to be honest. Keegan came fourth last year.
Yeah.
And has been in some pretty decent form, but he's not got a win. So I think the win and his stats for birdies and eagles for this week sort of tipped me over to Davis.
Yeah, I don't blame you there at all. Craig, Gary Woodland. I know we spoke about him off air.
Yeah, I'm going to mention I know he's not the Gary Wood. Blend of old.
Yeah.
I think, especially in this kind of field, 66 seems a bit won the US Open 2 years ago and is now 66-1 in a kind of weak field.
Yeah.
I mean, just going off, he was 70. He made the Northern Trust. He finished 74th.
I mean, it's just Dalit language, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, Craig, your network's crap, man.
Whatever.
good. I can't hear you, mate.
Seventh at the Barracuda, the Stable Ford tournament. Can you hear me?
Barely, mate.
Barely.
Seventh at the Barracuda in the last minute, I think.
Oh, dear. But yeah,
I'll 11th at the CM Open as well, but the tournament before that. So he's got a couple of top 20 finishes there. It's just very inconsistent just now, Gary Woodland. But it's just 66 seems a good, and the hope that he can return to some kind of form, I think so.
Yeah, I agree. I had a brief look at him. Obviously, back in the day, you know what I mean? He was renowned for smashing balls off the tee, weren't he? And being sneakily good with the putter. So, yeah, it could be a kind of field that he needs to get back some confidence, definitely.
Yeah, he's never played there before either.
I
don't think he has. He's not played before 2013. He's not played. Which is a bit surprising with how the course sets up for him with his driving. But he needs a confidence boost, on he does, really.
Yeah,
about to win for 2 years. So.
Yeah, and it is a shame to see, but we know it happens. And yeah, it'd be nice to see him go well, definitely, wouldn't it? Mm,
definitely.
It would. Next, I'm going to go next. I've got my second guy is at 70-1. I think it's one to watch sneakily this year. It's Joseph Bramlett at 70-1, the winner of the Corn Ferry Champs. Just another guy that sort of fits in with the model of absolutely smashes it off the tee, you know what I mean? Okay, he missed the cut last week, but over two rounds he averaged 336 yards off the tee average last week. You know what I mean? So he absolutely gives it a right swipe, he does. He was second for driving distance. He's eighth off the tee last week, 11th from tee to green, 12th for approach and 5th for greens in reg. He missed the cut, which means he's absolutely dreadful at putting. But I'm willing to take a chance. Especially on these last four guys that I've got. I'm just throwing a number out there because they're great off the tee. I just need to hit lucky. I do. There's some we spoke before, didn't we? There's some Corn Ferry lads that are the odds are ridiculous.
Stupid prices.
Yeah. Guys that you'd back at, 40-1 or less on the Corn Ferry Tour last year.
Yeah, definitely.
And so yeah, I think there's definitely some value to be had this week. You've got one around this mark, have you?
Yeah, but I've got Mr. Pan, Shang Tsung Pan himself, at 66s. So, again, got his Olympic medal, so he's probably still going to be gleaming from that, really. He had a sixth place last week with a missed cut and a tied 29th in between that and the Olympic start. So, he's in okay form. So, the Olympic one would have been massive for him.
Yeah.
Just to go out and represent Chinese Taipei and get the medal for him. I'm sure it will be he's got it for the rest of his life at the end of the day. But if we're going off the stat of the not so great putters win this week, he was 131st last year in putting. So I got to say, you can't look at the putting and think you can't have him this week. So 131st, if you're sort of going with the trend, it matches up. And for saying how small he is, he ranks 101st with driving distance, but he still hits it 296 yards, which isn't short. So
no.
If you're 101st and you're hitting it 296, everyone's just ridiculous now, aren't they, at bombing? So
It's
the course is going to be set up for bombers, flick of the wedge, have a putt, do the best, get as low as possible. So at 66, as say, is his Olympic form and his sixth place finish last week. I'm happy to take that on at 66s and see where we go.
Definitely. He's turned up before as well at the Masters, hasn't he? That's played on Bermuda greens. So
yeah, and he did finish 12th last year as well when they played here. So
yeah,
a little bit of course form. So you come in top 20, you know what you're doing around there.
Yeah, definitely. I do think it's a course. Well, I say that and I'll back to four rookies, but yeah, I think it is a course that you need to see to be a good advantage this week, as seen by, you know what I mean, the likes of, you know, Munoz, you know what I mean, top 25 last year, winner the year before, champs got good form, and yeah, it's good to see the place. It's a good course that you get a good feel for, definitely. Who we got? Craig, are you still there? I know you'd like Mitchell around this range.
If you can still hear me, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can hear you now, mate.
I'm not speaking in an alien language, am I?
No Dalek talk, no. You could.
I'm sorry. Right. Keith Mitchell. He had a good season last year.
He did.
Third at the Wells Fargo, the one that McIlroy won. Fourth at the Zurich Classic team event. 17th at the Texas Open. He was fifth at the 3M Open. Eighth at the Northern Trust. Followed by 55th and 57th in the last couple of events as well. He bombs it off the tee, as we said. That's going to be the kind of way to go.
Yeah.
In his last kind of four events, is for driving distance has been between 310 yards and 328 yards. So he is a bomber. He ranked first for off the tee at the Wyndham and 3M Open, 34th at the Northern Trust and 26th at the BMW. So he's very, very good off the tee. He actually ranked second at the 3M Open as well for strokes game putting, and 8th at the Northern Trust for strokes game putting. So if he can get the putter hot, I can't see why he can't go well, given he's a long hitter and he's had a good season last season.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think he plays his good, better stuff on Bermuda. I do. That might be Killer, just me.
Killer Keith,
that's the one. I tend to agree. And again, it's some good odds that are out there. I think his biggest prize is 80-1 that you can get.
Yep.
Yeah, so yeah, massive, I think. This range, I've got one at 100s. What's your next one, Ryan?
200's my last one.
All right. I'm going to 100-1 quickly because I haven't got much to say about these last ones. I've got, correct me if I'm wrong, Craig, you know what I'm like with pronunciation. I've got Sahith Begala at 100-1. Another one gives an absolute bath off the tee, you know what I mean? And I mean, he's 47th last week, first week with his PGA Tour full card. Got through to the weekend, 43rd off the tee, but he was 19th from tee to green, 18th for greens in reg. Just another one that I think's been trending well. I mean, he's got previous form at Silverado, which is kind of the correlating course, I think, again for this week, considering champs won there and here as well. So yeah, he's just a name that I liked, really, and again a good talent to watch that's coming through from the Corn Ferry from last year, definitely.
Yeah, I've got one for the Corn Ferry at 125 as well.
Yeah, crack on.
I've gone at 125. I'm going to throw out the name of Grayson Sigg at 125. He won a couple of times on the Corn Ferry Tour last season, got his tour card to the PGA Tour. He finished 30th last week at the Fortinet Championship, which for his first start was half decent.
Yeah.
Was 15th at the Barracuda, the start before that on the PGA Tour, in the Stable Ford event. That comes on top of 34th at the Nationwide Children's Hospital Championship. What a mouthful that is. that came after the first at the Boyce Open as part of the Corn Ferry Tour Finals. 35th at the Pinnacle Bank Championship and the Corn Ferry as well. He was 23rd last week for driving distance, which is okay. He ranked in the top 40 last week for off the tee, 37th, tee to green, 26th, 37th on approach, 23rd around the green, and 12th for putting average. So if you can kind of maintain them figures, get the ball up and down. Is just another one of the Corn Ferry Tour graduates to maybe keep an eye on, Grayson Sigg. I quite like that kind of price.
Yeah, 100%. I think, especially the odds there are, especially triple digits, especially early season, you know what I mean? They're still riding high from getting their actual PGA Tour cards. I think we can see a few names up there definitely going into Sunday. Hopefully it's one of our goals. That'd be nice.
You've got one as well, haven't you?
110 to one. Yeah. I've got Lucas Herbert. I've said his name a few times in the last 2 or 3 months. He's one of the best drivers of the golf ball on the European Tour. Over the last year or two, we've seen that a little bit on the PGA Tour last year. He had a few nice finishes during the mid part of the season, late end, back end of the season. He had a win on the European Tour. Again, he gives it an absolute swipe off the tee. He does, and he's really good on the green. He is. He fits the model this week. Another name that's again triple digits. I just need to hit some luck with his approach play. You know what I mean? He just needs to give himself chance after chance, and hopefully he goes well. He loves going low as well, so that puts him in good stead if he gets it rolling. But yes, Ryan, you want to go into your 250s?
Yeah. So there's a few guys that I looked at in the triple digits. So you've got the likes of like Taylor Moore. Barmer up. There's JT Poston's got course form. Yeah. Pete Martin's got course form. Andrew Novak, who I've backed numerous times last year, he's got a 350, I think he was. But I've gone with Josh Creel at 200 to 1. He missed the cut last week, but he previously finished 8th, 10th, 54th, missed cut, and he won it in Utah on the Corn Ferry Tour. So He's got a victory. He's obviously got his card now. Might have just been nerves for his PGA Tour debut last week, but he's another person that hits it a mile, as is everyone these days. He averages about just under 300 yards. So again, another player that can hopefully just have a bomb, a flick out of it be the rough or a little bit of second cut or something. You never know, because his accuracy isn't amazing. It's less than 50% for his driving accuracy, so he's not the most accurate player in the world, but when the courses are set up for players like these, they need to take advantage of it. So it's probably the most value I thought for 200 to 1, so that's why I've taken him on this week.
Oh, cracking. I must admit, not a name that I'm really really familiar with, but I suppose, I mean, so many people coming through on the Corn Ferry, that I said to you that before an air, Ryan, that there's four or five that I mean I'm not familiar with at all. They could be surprises, couldn't they, this year?
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, you've got both the Woos as well that are playing. Yeah, 250-1. They're both more than capable. There's so many players from the Corn Ferry that could, if they have a good week, that should it can kickstart them. I mean, there's even people like, probably not going to win at 400-1 this week, but there's Jared Wolf who won at 100-1 at some point in 2019, I think he won.
Yeah, okay.
There's so many people down there.
Your boy
Cady Gribble 750-1 this week. What year did he win?
2016. Yeah.
So if anyone fancies that, bit of course form. But he has missed his last two cuts. He's played there.
there's one I wanted to kind of mention as well at 175 that really caught my eye last week. I just wanted to give a shout out to John Augenstein, who played very, very well last week. Finished sixth in the Fortinet Championship. He's coming off the back of three decent finishes, to be honest, on his last three appearances. 20th at the Charles Schwab in May, 37th at the Wyndham Championship in August, and obviously sixth last week. I've said about Augenstein in the past, he's starting to kind of show the talent that kind of got him into the US Amateur Championship finals where he lost to Ogletree. You've got to have some sort of talent to get to the US Open, the amateur US Open, these days, especially with unbelievable amateurs coming through.
Yeah.
Last week he was 7th for tee to green, 3rd for approach, 40th off the tee, 19th for greens in regulation, and was 27th for putting average as well. So if you can kind of keep that up, and he's certainly shown signs of an upward trajectory, and I think 175 is a good price.
Yeah, I get that. That's good talent. In good form. So another one that this week could throw up, definitely. There's so many guys, you know what I mean, that he could easily go well and jump out of the pack. He could.
And speaking of Ogletree's returning to the PGA Tour for the first time in over a year after a battle with injury, he's at 350-1, just alerting people that he's in the field.
Yeah. I mentioned to Dinan before we went on record. He lives with, I mean, just over an hour away from the course, just up the road. Obviously, he had hip surgery about a year and a half ago, so yeah, that's why he's been off. All the best. Keep an eye on him definitely this week. See how he does.
You've got an absolute lottery ticket at 400-1.
Oh yeah, that's it. 400-1, the last one of the week. Callum Tarran at 400, the old Englishman. Just for the fact that, I mean, really, really good guy to watch. I mean, he hits it an absolute mile. I mean, he averaged 325 yards last week. But he can hit greens, you know what I mean? He was third for greens in regulation last week, 13th for tee to green, 17th off the tee. All right, that was just through two rounds because he missed the cut. But last year on the Corn Ferry Tour, through 32 events, he averaged 19th for greens and reg. So not only can he hit it a mile off the tee, I mean, he's good with his irons, clearly. But yeah, 400-1, you know what I mean? I don't expect anything from him. It's just to see, really. Just keep track on how he does, really. His second start with a full card on the PGA Tour.
Nice. I mean, they only have to play well once or twice and the price gets absolutely bashed, doesn't it? So
yeah, that's it. Yeah, so hopefully catch him at, I mean, massive odds like I'm trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, the course should suit with them being a very long
cutter as well. Yeah, you'd hope so.
Right, Ryan, do you want to just rattle off all your picks for this week and we'll do a quick recap of it?
Yeah, so European Tour, we've got Hatton, Grace, Hill and Ferguson, and then stateside we've got Burns, Cam Davis, Pan and Creel.
That's great. And Jamie yourself?
Yeah, so the two in Dunhill links, I've got Sean Crocker 55s, Armitage at 80s, then over on the Sanderson Farms champs, I've got Charlie Hoffman at 35s, I've got Joseph Bramlett at 70s, I've got Thigala at 100s, I've got Herbert at 110s, and I've got Taran at 400s. I have a lot of triple digits this week.
Yeah, Callum Taran's the winner at 400.
Yeah, that's it. I'll retire when that comes in.
And just the ones I've mentioned and kind of looking at in Europe, Guido Migliozzi 55s, Matty Jordan 66, Minwoo Lee at 100s, and on the Gary Woodland 66, Keith Mitchell 80s, Grayson Sigg 125, John Augenstein at 175, and I'll keep tabs on Andy Ogletree as well as injury at 350.
Yeah, cracking stuff.
And so all that's left to do is thank Ryan again for coming on this week for a second week in a row.
Yeah, cheers, mate. Cheers for having us again, man. Appreciate it.
And all the best this week, lads, and let's hope for a winner.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah, good luck.
Get your internet sorted.
I will. Oh, well, I'll try.
Yeah, I'll post you on
the joys of being a poor man.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Stop taking this and all the.
Have a good week, guys. See ya.
Yeah, slay, boys.
See you, bye. Cheers, bye.